Before we get started, I just wanted to share a moment of a testimony. You know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and I just got myself a testimony. So as you know, you were praying for me about, you know, just having a safe journey with Claire to the Ark Encounter and the other surrounding museums, the Creation Museum. We saw the Holocaust Museum. We heard about Corey Ten Boom and her sister and them being in Auschwitz and them getting, you know, trapped and almost, and her sister dying in Auschwitz and her, Corey Ten Boom, surviving it, and the word of God was hidden in her, you know, armpit and everywhere, so she could share the gospel. And then we learned about Jesus, the anatomy of his crucifixion, and how he suffocated, and how he bled, and how he died. The process, and we just experienced all these amazing testimonies and experiences that other people went through, Jesus went through on the cross. And so these things were like in the forefront of my mind, and I had prayed, you know, that God would hold the miscarriage until after the trip. And actually before that, I was praying that I could have the miscarriage before the trip. And the weekend before this trip, I was very disappointed that God didn't provide the timing that I expected. I said, God, you know, you're supposed to do this, and it's all supposed to be cleaned up and wrapped up so I could go on this trip and have a great time. And I was very disappointed, and I lost my peace for the first time from finding out on day one, when I found out I was pregnant. I said, God, I'm your vessel, and if you need a person, a new person in this world, then I'm your vessel, and I will lay myself down and my desires down, and I will provide what you need for this world. And I really handed off the pregnancy to him at that time, and I've had peace ever since. But that, in the weekend before, I lost my peace because I said, God, this is the timing that makes sense to me, and you didn't provide my timing when I think I should have this miscarriage happen at this time so I could go on this trip. And I processed it, and a few days later, I realized I needed to repent. I needed to repent because I put an expectation on God, and I said, you didn't meet my expectation. My expectation, it only makes sense to me that we would have all this situation behind us so we could go on this trip, because I already paid for it, like, months ago. It's done. I can't send anyone in. I tried to see if I could send someone else instead of me, and there was no way. I would just lose the money and lose the time, and I'd be sad that I didn't go with my daughter on this trip. And so I repented. I said, God, I put an expectation on you, and please forgive me. And once I asked for forgiveness, my peace returned back to me. And I have had a steadfast peace. Like, all 11 and a half weeks of the pregnancy, I had a steadfast peace, except for that time when I put that expectation on God. And then we went to the several museums, and everything was fine. And then we went to the Noah's Ark, and we traveled through the day, and I started to have bleeding, and then I started to feel cramping, and then I started feeling more cramping. And then I went to the bathroom, and then when I was coming out of the bathroom, I started stumbling, and then I grabbed the counter, and I looked up, and my face was white, and my lips were white, and I was like, oh no, I'm gonna pass out. And this lady who didn't know me, she just came out of nowhere, and she said, honey, can I help you? And I said, I'm having a miscarriage. And she said, I've had four. And she said, I'm gonna help you. And so she talked to the lady at the counter that was cleaning all the bathrooms. She said, call first aid. And she called first aid, and she helped me to the to lay down on a wooden bench right outside the bathroom. And I laid down, and the first aid person was right there right away and wheeled me to the first aid station. And then I started having extreme contractions, and I was actually on a phone call with Don. He was hearing all this happen. And then Claire came running, and she met me and went down to the first aid station. I started having such hard labor contractions, and anyway, it ended up being that I needed to go to the hospital. And those And when I went to the hospital, it was called St. Elizabeth's, and they had crosses everywhere. And I just knew the Lord was there. The Lord was there. And I didn't have any fear the whole time. I didn't have any fear. My peace remained intact even through the pain. And they gave me an IV, and they gave me pain medicine, and I started to feel better. And they did all these tests on me, and they said, my concern was, can I fly home? Because that flight was the next day. And they said, it's going to be uncomfortable, but you can fly. And so I was with Claire the next morning, which was Thursday. And I asked her, can you take this anointing oil and put it on my belly, and will you pray for me? And the words that she prayed surprised me. She said, God, I ask that you would let what needs to be done quickly before the flight, and that this would be taken care of, you know, before the flight. And then right after that, I delivered the placenta. And so I delivered the placenta, and then I started feeling less contractions, but I was on tons of pain meds, so I could probably not feel a whole lot. And then that afternoon, we got on a flight, and we got on another flight, and we got home, and the Lord just kept my peace intact the whole time. And so I just wanted to share, sometimes we're disappointed with God because he doesn't meet our expectations and he doesn't meet our timing, but then he shows up in the middle of the trial. And then I found this scripture this morning, and it says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him, James 1:12. And it just made me, and I'm just thankful to have been able to be patient during this trial and to keep God's peace and just know that I was in his care, and he showed up along the way with all the Christians that he lined up for me. And if I would have had this miscarriage ahead of time, I wouldn't have seen him show up. And it was his timing, and I trusted his timing. I mean, for a moment, I had my doubt, but I trusted his timing more than my own. And he showed me himself and revealed himself to me in that way. So I know that took a little bit, but I just wanted to tell you guys, God is real. He shows up, and sometimes he doesn't meet our expectations, but his plan is better than our plan. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross and laying yourself down for us, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God, that you are a God who never fails, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, that your timing is perfect, God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord God. We praise your name, Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God."
For I'm calling those who've rejected my blood. I'm calling those who are hard in their hearts and say, I have no need of a God. I have no need of a Savior. Oh, but let me tell you, the glory that awaits you, the healing that awaits you, the majesty that awaits you in heaven. Oh, it's worth it all. Give it all to me. Be available to me, and let me show you what I will do with you. Oh, Hataya Boko Soya Makiatai. I know the Lord is speaking to some. If you feel like you need to come and pray, it's always time to pray. It's always in order to seek the Lord. Oh, feel free. I'm just gonna play a few minutes, and if you want to pray, please do come and find a place to pour your heart out to him and say, Lord, take all of me, every bit of me, and draw me nearer to you, Lord. Hakotoshia basataya boki.
Good morning, everyone. Claire and Jake, would you help me pass out the handouts right here, please? Everybody can have one. Happy Resurrection Day, and praise and glory to our risen Savior forever. Beautiful, beautiful worship service this morning. Beautiful. Before we begin this lesson this morning, and I'm treating this as a Bible study. This is how the Lord seemed to give it to me, and I hope that's okay. I'm going to say the words again. It's a little unusual for a Easter Sunday morning, maybe, but this is how it came out. But before we begin the lesson, I want you to know that I'm going to be sharing a video at the end of this service that has absolutely nothing to do with this, with Easter, or with anything else. It's about 20 minutes long. You're not under any obligation to stay and listen. It is a bit political, but it is mostly about the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't be interrupting anything or disrupting anything if you choose to leave, and I want everyone to know that. You are not obligated to stay. But I want you to know that my reason for sharing this message, which some may feel has no place in church, but I feel that this message is desperately needed in church, in every church. And as I said, I believe that it is about Jesus Christ, whom we are celebrating today. And I want the message to have gone out from this place. That's why I'm sharing it. So with that being said, let's just pray. Father, we so humbly thank you. We thank you for your presence and your mercy and your grace today. And God, we ask your blessing upon this word. We ask your anointing upon it, Lord, the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit to be present and evident in every portion. And we ask it in your precious name. Amen and amen. I want to tell you, I have never had such a hard time. I've worked with computers for, well, since there was a computer. I got one of the very first Macintoshes, Apple Macintoshes, that was made probably in 1984 or 1985, 1986 maybe, something along there, and I could not format this thing to save my life. So if you see mistakes and you see, Christy, I don't want to hear about it. If you see wrong letters and numbers and indents and what have you, just know that I'm human and I make mistakes. It was really a tough one to get through. And then when I went to print it on double-sided, because it would be too long to print single pages, my printer just kept saying, remove the pages from the feeder. So I'd remove the pages and then it would go dead and do nothing. So I had to get Don to help print it. So thank you, Don, for that. We are going to be looking at one passage of scripture this morning. And I handed this out to you because there is a lot on here as far as what Jesus meant when he said it is finished from the cross. So after this, John 19, 28 and 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. And a jar full of sour wine stood there, so that they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it up to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. So what did Jesus mean when he said, "It is finished"? Obviously, he was very near death. He may have meant, "My life is finished." But I'm going to go over some of the things that I believe that Jesus finished on the cross, and maybe one or two corresponding scriptures that go along with that. Number one, Jesus demonstrated his perfection through suffering. If you think that Jesus, the perfect Son of God, the perfect Lamb of God, needed perfection, let's look at this. Hebrews 2 and 10. For it was fitting, according to God's plan of salvation, that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Can't you say, thank you, Jesus, for loving the Father and loving us enough to die, to suffer for us? Number two, Christ broke down the middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile, making us one in him, the ultimate peace and equality treaty. Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. But now in Jesus Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You who were far off were the Gentiles, that's us. The near ones were the Jews. But through the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both, the Jew and the Gentile, one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility or partition. And as a result, all of God's blessings are collectively ours. Number three, the satisfaction of the full justice of God was finished at the cross. What does this mean? Romans 5, 8 and 9. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Because God loved us so much that he sent Jesus, and Jesus loved the Father so much that he was willing to die, we did not get what we deserved, which was the death penalty. Can you say amen? Number four, the cancellation of the reign of death and salvation for all was finished on the cross. Romans 6, 9 through 11. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. Wow. Because Jesus finished the reign of death at the cross and died once for all, we have been made alive to God. I recommend that you read that whole sixth chapter of Romans for some great shouting material. It'll excite you. Number five, the cancellation of sin's power over us was finished at the cross. Romans 6, 12 through 13. This is just a continuation of what we just read in Romans 6, 9 through 11. Therefore, let not sin reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. That grace we sang about this morning, we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are made righteous in Christ. Number 6, personal access to God and peace between God and man was finished at the cross. Look at Ephesians 2, 17 through 19. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, again, the Gentiles, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. We are made one in him, Jew and Gentile, and we have one spirit, and the access to the Father works for both of us. Amen. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Direct access to the Father, peace with God, and part of the family. What a deal. Number 7. Blotting out the old covenant and making and sealing the new covenant was finished at the cross. 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And continuing on with verse 10 and 11, indeed, in this case, what once had glory, the law, has come to have no glory at all, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end, the old covenant, came with glory, how much more will what is permanent have glory? This passage goes on to say that there is no more glory in the tablets or in Moses. Oh, but when the permanent solution came, the new covenant, the day star, shines upon our faces, those who have accepted what he finished at the cross, there is majestic glory. Amen. Number 8. The full endowment of power and the full anointing of the Holy Spirit was finished at the cross. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Jesus Christ the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. I added another one there, Luke 24, 46 through 49. I love this. And he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father to you. But stay in this city until you're clothed with power from on high. Jesus finished the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the cross. Amen. And Doug and Don, if you would help us and start passing out the communion elements now, we're going to finish up with number 9. The fulfillment of all the scriptures, of which there are so many, about the sufferings of Christ for our complete healing. Healing for sin, healing for our bodies. It was all finished on the cross. We'll pray in just a minute. Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. Look down at number 1. The transgression of our sin by the piercing of his hands and feet and side. He was crushed for our iniquities. Number 2. our gross wickedness and propensity for injustice by Jesus' life being crushed out of him. He paid for that. And he, upon him, was the chastisement or the punishment that should have been ours that brought us peace. Our peace, number 3. Both with man and God, as Jesus was chastised or treated like a criminal, being mocked and ridiculed and spat upon. And with his wounds, which we deserved, we are healed. Our physical, mental, and emotional healings by the infliction of his awful wounds were paid for. Would you stand with me for a few minutes and let's honor the Lord in remembering what he did on the cross and what he meant when he said, "It is finished." Father, we are so humble, so grateful for what you did, for the sacrifice of your Son. Oh God, the love that it took, we can't even imagine. And the work that was finished on the cross, that we may be reunited with you and be eternal with Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning. And Lord, now with thanksgiving in our hearts, we remember the broken body. And we ask, oh God, that as we take this symbol of your broken body, that our hearts would remember, our minds would be remembering, Lord, and that we would always tell others of your broken body. In Jesus' name. And likewise, Father, we take this cup, the symbol of the shed blood. Oh God, we sang about it this morning. On the old rugged cross, it was a horrible death to die, but Jesus was willing, and we're the benefactor. Thank you for the blood, Lord. Thank you for it in Jesus' name, and we'll take it now. Father, we do honor you. This resurrection day, we thank you for the plan, oh God, that included us, that were far away from you and had no way to get to you. Oh, but you made the plan through your Son, and we've accepted that plan and have come to him asking for forgiveness of our sins, knowing full well that he heard us and that he's accepted us and cleansed us from those sins. And Lord, I ask that you would bless the remainder of this day, as we gather together or go our own ways, Lord, that we always remember the price that you paid. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. I want to introduce this. Evan, you can go ahead and put it on. If you want to stay, again, feel free to stay. If you want to go, go ahead and go. It's okay with me either way. But I want these words to have gone out from this place. Does that make sense? I hope it does. So you can understand that this is a heavy, heavy message, but one I believe in, and I wanted these words to be spoken in this place. I was searching for a scripture, and I didn't find it, but I'm going to keep looking. I believe that it says, when the word of God is spoken, the angels carry the word, and I'm banking on that this morning. That's why I wanted this message to be presented and strongly stated in this place.
You can add what the president did this weekend. I mentioned it earlier, but as contrast to what he's saying, and to emphasize why he's saying it, our president, Joe Biden, signed a declaration that today, Easter, is Transgender Visibility Day. Now, I don't think for a second that Joe Biden did that of his own accord. He's half gone.
Right.
But he has a team of people behind him who hate this country and hate God. And you can't come to any other conclusion but that they hate this country and that they hate God, because why else would you single out Easter Sunday?
Right, of all days.
Transgender Visibility Day. Yeah. It is a poke in the eye to Christianity. We understand how they feel about us. We understand how they feel about God. And by the way, they're managing this country, we understand how they feel about the country. They're not stupid people. They're smart people.
Yep.
They're intelligent and capable people, which is all the more reason why they need to be gone.
Yep.
You don't do an act like that unless you hate God and everyone who represents
him. I fear for the soul of anyone who would try to replace the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with that. I do. I fear for his soul. And you can be dismissed. I appreciate those who stayed. I understand those who couldn't. It's okay. Again, I want this just out in the airwaves. That was my goal.